what we would love, I think, in this show is if people called up front and, you know, let's get some good numbers in there at the start of the
show.
Let's
build some momentum. Let's get out to a 10-game lead in April.
Well, and let's also make this something incredible. I mean, your listeners know the crisis of the media. Anybody who's listening to this show is well aware of what's wrong. This is a chance to actually vote. You're not going to have a chance to vote on November 2 on whether you like the media or not. I wish we could. But this is a chance to actually cast a vote with a check, whatever amount you can. It doesn't matter if it's $5 or $500. It's just a way. I look not at the amount of money. I look at the number of callers. That's the thing that excites me. And if you have dozens, maybe hundreds of people calling in to pledge whatever they can, that's a signal to the people who run your station, but also to people far beyond, that ordinary folks across this country care deeply about fixing what's wrong with our media.
You know, John, to follow up on that, Jay Pierce is in here right now, who runs WILL AM 580. We've got the whole staff in working today on their own on Sundays to help with the pledge drive. They don't give us a cash goal for the show. They just give us a caller goal. They understand that not everyone can make a $60 donation and get one of those three books, Dick, A Man Who's President, or one of my two books. They understand a lot of people can't afford $120.
Right. And I really passionately believe in this. I think the person who gives the $5 contribution, who really is giving everything they can. I was just on a show the other day where somebody walked into the station with $4. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's an older woman, and this is what she had, and she wanted to give it. I mean, that means so much, because it's really the notion that these stations are communities. And the problem of, frankly, the right in this country is that it loves the community, and not all the right, there's some wonderful conservatives, but the elite right, their sense of community is people like them, right? A small circle of people who make the same amount of money or more, who get together and decide things. Our vision, the vision that I think is a much more small-d democratic vision, is that everybody's in, whether you've got $5 or whether you've got 5,000 to give. And it's that collective, that group of people who come together and say, we want a radio station that tells us the truth, because that's the missing element in so much of our media. And it isn't even that most journalists don't want to tell the truth. It is that we've created media systems in this country that are incapable of doing so. And a show like this, and that's why I love doing it, not just for you, but because, you know, when we take calls from people, it's wonderful. You know, it's that you have created down there in eastern Illinois a community of folks who are more informed, more engaged, and really form a base for, I think, making real change in this country.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. Some of you have just tuned in probably wondering, where is On the Media, which normally airs from 12 to 1 on Sundays? On the Media today is a what they call a best-of show. That's a euphemism for a repeat. Because of that, it's not a new show, we decided to have a special two-hour edition of Media Matters today. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We'll run until 2 o'clock. Our guest is John Nichols, Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine, author of many books, including the brand new Dick, The Man Who's President. And we're trying to raise money. This is that once every 2 years we step up for you, and we come forward and we ask for our listeners to say, we want to support Media Matters. We want to support programming like this. We want to support non-commercial public radio in Illinois, WILL AM 580. And I want you to know, we need you to call. If you call in and make a $60 pledge, as I said, you get one of the three books we're offering, including John's new book, Dick, The Man Who's President, or one of my two new books, The Problem of the Media, or Our Unfree Press, which I co-edited with Ben Scott, the first producer of Media Matters. For $120, you get all three books. So we need you to step up and make that call at 244-9455. And I want you, as you're making that call, to keep this in mind. Not a penny of the money you donate is going to go into my pocket or John Nichols' pocket or the people who work on this show. We're all volunteering. We're doing this because we believe in this show. We believe in this station. We believe in this community. This money is going to go to pay the electrical bill, the phone bill. I guarantee you there's not any jacuzzi in Jay Pierce's office. He does not have a stretch limo.
We haven't found it yet.
This money is not this is money to pay the bills. This is so we can have guests long distance, like John Nichols, without any questions asked. We're in the position to do this. So we need you to call in at 244-9455. And we're going to have some guests calling in during the show to join us, calling in from around the country who just want to chip in and give their best to us. Now, John, before we go on to any guests, let's talk a little bit about the presidential race. You and I are often critical of news coverage, which talks about horse races constantly, but to a certain extent, we are in a horse race here.
Well, and this is the time of year that you want to start to talk about the horse race because you want to get a sense of, you know, where things stand. Hopefully after the debates. I mean, you know, this is the amazing thing. It ought to be after the debates that you finally do talk about, you know, where the states are starting to line up.
Mm-hmm.
Not before them, which is what most media does.
That's right.
But we're now at the point where you can take a look around the country and say, you know, look, we've got a pretty good sense of what kind of race we've got. And it's a hell of a race. Look, John Kerry was in dire straits in late September. I mean, he was pretty close to out of the game.
Pulling a Dukakis.
What's that?
Pulling a Dukakis.
Yeah, in fact, you know, so they're starting to look longingly at some of those states Dukakis had won. And so it was pretty bad for Kerry, and everybody inside his campaign knew it. There was a lot of internal changes going on. Certainly they brought Carville Begala in and other people to give him a little more advice. But the real change was the debates, and this is a historic moment. You know, I mean, not every campaign does the debate have an impact. The 96 Clinton-Dole debates were not a big deal. Even the 92 debates between Bush, Clinton, and Ross Perot did not turn out to be definitional. In fact, if anything, they helped Perot the most. But every once in a while, we have a cycle where the debates truly matter. And I think this is perhaps most equivalent to 1980, although in the other direction. 1980, you had an incumbent president, Jimmy Carter, who was viewed as weak, but a significant player. And, you know, many people thought, you know, he had a lot of problems, but that ultimately Carter, you know, could and should be reelected. Then you had these debates in which Ronald Reagan, who most people thought was a very weak player, not really ready to be president, not really prepared for the office, who walked into those debates and, by most accounts, just wiped Carter out, did far, far better than people had expected. Well, we've got an equivalent situation this year. John Kerry had been beaten up for so long that most people, I think even some of his own supporters, didn't think he was capable of turning in a decent debate performance. Instead, he's universally agreed to have demolished Bush in the first debate, and if we believe polling from the battleground states and nationally, the majority of American people believe he won all three debates. In fact, there's a poll that came out today that showed that by a 30% margin, Americans surveyed over the last couple of days said that Bush lost all the debates.
You know, John, there's a baby crying in the background, and I want to reassure our listeners that was not Jay Pierce bemoaning the fact that we are not getting enough phone calls at 244-9455, but in fact that is your lovely 11-month-old daughter, Whitman.
Yes, who is being well taken care of, despite she just doesn't like changing into her coat to go outside.
That's
and,
right.
And so that was the... Just so people don't think it's a crisis. Although, you know, she's been on radio all over America.
I know she has, and you've held her up in speeches. She's probably the most famous 11-month-old girl who's not connected to, like, an advertising campaign.
Well, I'm not trying to abuse her in this regard. It's just that Mary, my wife and I actually have a belief that you know, the baby, or her name is Whitman, by the way, ought to be a part of the world. And we take her to a lot of things. And she, when she cries, it's usually when she's not in the middle of the action. So I'm sure she'd be just chipper as could be if she could join us on the show today. But her insights on the race are, you know, she's pretty radical. I tend to kind of be a little shy about putting her up front because you're going to hear, you know, her view on Mr. Kerry is he's not been nearly good enough on coming out against the war and also pretty weak on a lot of economic issues.
Well, John Nichols, we're going to go now to our Pledge Central here at WILL AM5A to get an update from Les. Go ahead, Les.
Yeah, things are picking up out here, Bob, and we really appreciate the fact that we've heard from folks like David Drayson from West Lafayette. We've heard from Herbert Morgan from Urbana. We're starting to get calls in from all over the place. So call 217-244-9455. You know, Bob, if they put their pledge on their credit card, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express, we'll send out the new 2004 Wimper Map, which includes radio stations, public radio stations, all across the country.
Well, that's quite an offer. Plus, remember, listeners, if you do call in and make a $60 pledge before 2 o'clock, you have your choice of one of three brand-new books. John Nichols' new book, Dick, the Man Who is President, my co edited book with Ben Scott, Our Unfree Press, a collection of the best criticism of media in this country over the last 100 years by some of our greatest writers, and my own new book, The Problem of the Media. So your choice of any of those three for a $60 pledge. And for $120, you get all three books. And I'm telling you, that'll keep you busy for the next couple months and with some enjoyable reading. John, what's your sense now? You're up in the state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. which is now targeted, I think, as a battleground state. In fact, some of the recent stuff I've been reading says that a lot of the smart money says that the race is going to come down to three states. Wisconsin's one of them.
Yeah, and then Ohio, and some people say Florida.
Or Pennsylvania, but those three or four. And, I mean, you've been covering Wisconsin politics. You know more about Wisconsin politics, I think, than anyone in the country. What's your sense of the state? How's it been faring for Kerry and for Bush?
Well, I don't want to take the excitement out of it, but Kerry will win Wisconsin when all is said and done. The Democrats have won Wisconsin in every election cycle since 1984. They didn't win in 84, but from 88 on, they've won it every time. And I think that'll be the end result. But it got close here. And one of the reasons it got close here was because Kerry really did fall down as a presidential candidate in August and September. He did a rotten job of countering the message that the Bush campaign was putting out, both directly and via its surrogates in the media. And so Kerry fell behind in the polls. A lot of people got very concerned. Now, the last few days, almost all of the polls have showed him moving into a lead position. And, you know, the Chicago Tribune polled here about a week ago and found Kerry with a 4-point lead. There have been other polls that show him with a 2-point lead or roughly tied, but I think that's about accurate. And this is sort of the trend around the country. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is, I think if the election was held today, and, you know, this, some of this is sort of, you know, seat of the pants. Remember, you can't just look at a collection of polls and say, oh, well, this is what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the election was held today, Kerry probably would win it, both on the basis of his strong debate performances and also just a real sort of bad feeling about what's going on in Iraq. I think an awful lot of Americans are very ill at ease with the war. They may not even be anti-war, but they're uncomfortable. And Kerry came on very strong in the debate, seemed to suggest that, you know, he wasn't going to blow it, right? He's going to manage it at least as well or better than Bush. And if people sense that, then that puts Kerry in a pretty good place. The other thing that I think is interesting, and again, all this could shift, obviously, because, you know, events of the day matter a great deal. But the other thing that's really fascinating to me is, you know, this is a Sunday, and it's on Sunday that newspapers around the country make their endorsements.
Yeah, and today was a big day for endorsements.
It's fascinating what's going on. You know, there's now close to a dozen major daily newspapers that endorsed Bush in 2000 and are opposing him this time.
Really? I know, you know, our good friend Frank Blethyn, the publisher of the Seattle Times, is notably at the top of that list.
He is one of the largest, but he's not no longer alone on that.
Yeah, I mean, who else is there?
The Portland Oregonian, which strongly endorsed Bush. Remember, these are papers that are old moderate Republican papers.
Yeah.
And I think they tended to think that, you know, a Bush family member wouldn't let him down. You know, it'd sort of be like kind of quietly moderate.
Yeah, the country club set.
Exactly. And so Portland Oregonian went over, obviously the Seattle Times, as you mentioned. The Bradenton, just today, the Bradenton Herald in Bradenton, Florida, that's a key battleground state, the Daily Camera in Boulder, Colorado, the Daily Herald in Arlington Heights, Illinois, your home state,
mm-hmm.
the Muskegon Chronicle in Muskegon, Michigan, all of these newspapers shifted from backing Bush last time around to backing Kerry this time. In addition, what you're starting to see, and this is fascinating, across the South, you're starting to see a whole bunch of newspapers that endorsed Bush last time, but are either endorsing Kerry or sitting it out altogether.
Sitting it out?
The Winston-Salem Journal in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that's a very big paper in John Edwards' home state, has backed every Republican candidate for president since 1968. They have not deviated since 68. Today they editorialized and said it will not endorse this year. Now you can say, oh, what wimps they are and stuff like that. That's fun. But the bottom line is, this is a paper that had no problem with Richard Nixon in 1972, had no problem with Ronald Reagan, had no problem with Bush the dad, with Dole, with Bush in 2000, and yet this year says we're not going to go with the Republicans again.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. You're probably wondering, why is it that Media Matters is on for at this time? It usually starts at 1 o'clock. We're a two-hour show today because On the Media, which normally precedes Media Matters, is doing a repeat today. So we thought we'd take over the full 2 hours to get John Nichols on to talk about the election. And press coverage and the media scandal with Sinclair and the debates and all the other extraordinary news of the day that needs to be talked about. And most importantly, we have him on because John Nichols is a great friend of this program and a great friend of public radio in this country. And today's the day we turn to you, the listeners, and say, we need your help. We've got our tin cup out here. We need you to call area code 217-244-9455 and make your donation, your contribution to keep shows like Media Matters on the air, to keep programming with this orientation, keep these sorts of guests before the audience of East Central Illinois and via the internet really to people across the nation and across the world. And if we don't get phone calls, if we don't get support, shows like this and stations like this simply can't do the job that you want them to do. And all I always like to say, and John, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, is take the taste test, stroll down the dial, get away from AM 580 and see what other public affairs and news coverage is like on the AM dial right now, and then do the same thing in the FM. And I think what you're going to find is if you don't have this station and one or two others on the dial, we're in deep trouble in terms of the sort of commentary we're going to get, the range of viewpoints you're going to get, the ability to speak. And we need people to step up, 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. For $60, you get one of three books, your choice, John Nichols' new book, The Man Who Is President, Dick, The Man Who Is President, and either of my brand new books, The Problem of the Media or Our Own Free Press, which I co-edited with Ben Scott. For $120 pledge, you get all three. And just joining us now in the studio is Jack Brighton. You're the news director, is it?
Actually, I'm the Internet Development Director. I used to produce Focus 580, the morning talk show.
I lose
here.
Track of all the titles.
And you
it's
can
hard
pledge
to keep
on
track.
The Internet, right?
That's right. This show's on the Internet. There's a lot of Internet listeners, and you can actually make a pledge on the Internet, too.
Well, how do they do that?
WILL.UIUC.EDU, and there's a link at the top that says Pledge on every single web page throughout our entire site.
Good work, Jack.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that we installed 5 extra phone lines just for this show today because we know there are a lot of Media Matters listeners out there. We know people support Media Matters. There's a lot of interest in the media, and that's as it should be. It's such an excellent show, and the response just proves that people realize that there's a problem with the media. And so, you know, this is an opportunity to explore that. And so we hope you'll help us keep that going by making that pledge call.
Hey, can I make one other point, too, which is that, you know, one of the things is that I know from people around the country that Media Matters via the Internet is listened to and followed all over the U.S.
Absolutely.
You know, you get listeners. I was out in Seattle, Washington, and I have people who tell me they listen out in Seattle every Sunday.
Yeah, we do get a call or two every week from around the country, it seems like. And I hope that we'll get someone making the pledge call at 217-244-9455. Jack, have you been down to Pledge Central to see how we're doing?
Yeah. I mean, we had all 5 lines up here going for a while, and there's like 5 lines downstairs that we installed, like I say, just for the show. And they've been ringing, too. So I don't have a count right now. I just know that, you know, we need to keep those lines lit up, you know, to keep the show. I mean, we're not gonna cancel the show, let's face it. you know, to make it, you know, possible for us to do more of this kind of work.
That's right. And also to have the resources to bring in guests from, you know, maybe get a guest long-distance call from Europe periodically if there's
Absolutely.
A crisis. These sort of things cost a lot of money. We want to do them, but we can't do them unless we can pay the bills.
That's you want me to blather on as a manager on what it takes?
Here we've got the manager
like
of the station. He's working the board today to show what a big-ticket operation. This guy says our engineer
right.
is the manager of the station.
Engineer and boss.
Yeah, okay, Jay.
Whatever it takes. Let me just a perspective on running a public radio station. As program director and station manager now, what you have to consider when you put a show like this, I can't just take somebody like Bob and, you know, we're fortunate to have somebody the caliber of Bob laid in our lap virtually, you know, coming in as he did to the University of Illinois and coming in and saying, look, this is what I've done on the air. He'd been a guest on our talk shows before. And he said, I'd love to do a show. And we sat down and we started putting this together, and he has grad assistants who help produce it. But you can't just say, okay, I've got an hour to just anybody and say, sit down and do the program. It does take some time out of a manager's schedule in the course of a week and a program director's schedule to talk about, well, you know, is the program worth it? Are we covering the things that we want to cover in it? It is a show that diverges from the mainstream, so you have to say, okay, you know, what else could I be running at this time? Is there an NPR program that I should be running? And then, of course, you will get listeners who call and go, boy, that hour is a bunch of baloney. How do you let somebody like that? I'm not giving you any money if you run that show again. That's all part of the job of the program director and the manager, is to take that all in and answer it. But the bottom line is, I have to be able to say at the end of the day that this show is worth having on the air. Now, as Jack said, the show's not going anywhere. Media Matters is a part of WILL's mission. It's not a part of the mission of all public radio stations to have a program like this, and this is the point I'm getting to. A lot of radio stations, public radio stations, will subscribe to different theories on how they decide what programs to put on the air. And I think WILL has broken the mold in that in many ways throughout the week. If you listen to our talk shows, we're not the strip NPR, run all the NPR programs, because we feel like we need to be diverse and locally relevant to our audience. We need to give you a chance to call in and be able to say what you're thinking, to talk about important issues. That's the way this radio station is built. Now, it's not the most cost-effective way to do it. It would be a lot cheaper for us to just buy all the NPR programs
the strip shows
throughout the day. Yeah. But how responsible would that be on our part to our community and our supporters? And WILL generates considerably more support from listeners than a lot of other stations in much bigger markets. In fact, when I go to different conferences, people are impressed with WILL's listenership and also the way that listeners support it. So, bottom line is, we've created a radio station based on listener support. It can only be as good as listeners want it to be. So when we put a program on like this, when we go outside the bounds of the quote-unquote mainstream NPR-type station, it's very gratifying to hear the support for it, and we're committed to doing that here at WILL.
Jay, regrettably, you seem to have the same effect on our listeners that I've been told I have on undergraduates.
Yeah.
Our lines are
engrossed in what I was saying.
That's right. I'm sure that must be it. We need callers right now. We have empty phone lines. We need people to call in and make that pledge at 244-9455. This is your chance to step forward and say, this is sort of program you like. And let me just follow up on one point with this that you were just making, Jay, because I've pitched this show to other stations, not just WILL before I did here, and no one would take it. This is the only NPR-affiliated station in the country that would accept a show like this and run it. And now that you're running it and it's being successful, other stations are going to consider doing this, carrying shows like this, because they're finding out there's a lot of people really interested in work that goes outside the conventional wisdom, that goes outside what Hannity and Combs are talking about or what you can find on Chris Matthews' show. A press criticism that simply doesn't start with the premise of the media or a bunch of liberals.
And one of the tough things is, okay, who do you have doing the show? And I'll just flatly say, you know, I mean, it could be a, you have to go, is the guy going to be a loose cannon? What are you going to get when the radio comes on? And Bob, I got to tell you, you know, Bob and John and everybody else that has been a part of Media Matters, I got to say, it's a show that, yeah, it goes into new territory, and territory that's not addressed elsewhere, but it's done in a meaningful way, in a productive way, and it creates a dialogue that I think that while there are some extremists on another end of the political spectrum that I hear from, I think that most thinking people listen to it, get something out of it, and even if they disagree with the politics, at least go, you know what? It's very thoughtfully presented. We have some of the preeminent speakers on various media issues and political issues on the air, and yeah, I may disagree with what they say, but darn it, they're really putting some thought into this, and you know, even if I disagree, at least the conversation, and I support the dialogue.
All
I
right,
have to say
hey,
that.
Bob, if yeah. I can just what's the phone number again, by the way?
It's area code 217-244-9455. The phone lines are wide open. We've got three piles of wonderful brand new books sitting there waiting to be shipped out as soon as we get the pledges. We need people to call in, and we actually have a caller we're going to take right now. Hello, line two.
Yes, thank you. I was just calling to respond to what the manager had said, that, in fact, quite to the contrary, I've been steadily increasing my pledge because of your show, and that, you know, if you were not there, my pledge would go back down rather than up.
Well, so I appreciate that.
I think there are a lot of people out there who probably are pledging, you know, because WILL is carrying this kind of programming, whereas, you know, I would support the station, but not to the degree. I mean, I've probably more than doubled the amount of money I give to the station now.
Well, thank you very much, and keep listening, and tell your friends to do the same, if you would.
And let me just say one thing, Bob. Again, what was that number, by the way?
244-9455. Area code 217 for our internet listeners.
I just want to make the point that, you know, I've done Media Matters a lot over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you're our first guest and by far our most frequent guest.
And I'm honored to do it. But I want to remind people of something that some of the regular listeners may have forgotten or may not be aware of, especially anybody who's a new listener. One of the most significant things about this show, and one of the things that you and I have talked about from the start of the show, is the failure of the most U.S. media to cover the fundamental issues that are going on in this country. And obviously it's something I write a lot about in the book on Cheney. And that is the question of, you know, when do we go to war? And why do we go to war? And this show, 2 years ago, was raising the serious questions about the failure of our media to challenge the Bush administration's claims as regards weapons of mass destruction, as regards a supposed connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, as regards the supposed threat that Iraq posed to its neighbors and the rest of the world. People who were listening to this show got a filter, if you will, that helped them to kind of like get through the failure of our media. And so as a result, now when we're sitting in this moment where it's completely accepted that Iraq did not have a weapons of mass destruction program. In fact, the CIA just said it in a report that it had been destroyed back in the early 90s, where it is internationally accepted and by the 9/11 Commission that there was no serious Iraq-Al-Qaeda connection, and where it is universally accepted now that there was not a serious threat posed by Iraq to its neighbors or certainly the United States. I mean, all of the things that we were helping to guide people through 2 years ago have come to be common knowledge, come to be accepted. And that is why a show like this is so vitally necessary. If people are going to be able to cut through the lies and cut through the failings of the media and be functional, strong citizens, they've got to have media that helps them get through it. And this show, you know, if people don't support this show, if they don't provide the resources, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder, as no matter who wins the presidency, to cut through the lies, because media, mainstream media, isn't getting better. It's getting worse. The situation with Sinclair is one example of it. What you see with Fox is another example. But remember, the failings of Dan Rather and CBS. I mean, across the board, mainstream media is stumbling and falling down. People desperately need a program that helps them cut through that. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic about this show, and I think it's also why so many of the listeners are enthusiastic, because they know that by supporting this show and being a part of it, they are part of what I think is the beginning, and only the beginning, of a real challenge to a failed media system.
You're listening to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Some of you who've just tuned in probably are wondering, what is Media Matters doing on at this time of day? We normally start at 1 o'clock. Today we're doing a two-hour double edition, one-time-only special show, because On the Media, the show that normally airs at this time, is doing a repeat this week, so we thought we'd just take over the time and do original programming. We have as our guest John Nichols, author of the new book, Dick, the Man Who is President, correspondent for The Nation and also for the Capital Times, the daily newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're talking about electoral politics. We're talking about media coverage of the elections coming up and politics in general. And most importantly, we're talking about the need of our listeners to step up to the plate today, as we do once or twice a year, and support WILL AM 580, support Media Matters by calling 217-244-9455 and making a pledge. $60 will net you one of three books: my new book, The Problem of the Media; my co-edited book, Our Unfree Press, which I co-edited with Ben Scott, the first producer of Media Matters; and most important, John Nichols' brand new book, Dick, the Man Who is President, which has come out to exceptional acclaim from critics, which is the first authoritative look at Vice President Dick Cheney. And having said that, I see our phone lines are absolutely flat out dead.
That's no good.
This is not good at all. Please call them. We need your support. They've set a high goal for us here on Media Matters. You know, we've done well in the past, and now we're batting fourth in the order here in the pledge drive. They want us to get 100 people to call over these 2 hours, which I think is way off the charts for whatever is asked for any other hours. Jay, you're here. What's the average caller per hour?
Usually, a good hour, weekend edition yesterday, for instance, mm-hmm. like 25,
yeah.
40, something like
that. So
we're
that, trying to go 400% above.
Well, you're looking to double 2.5 times what a good hour might
and
be.
I think for listeners who are saying, why should I do that? You know, I know that... there's other people are going to call in. I can just let out, and I'll just sit here and get a free ride, and I'll put my money to some other good use. I want you to consider this. 90% of the people who listen to this show by research shows don't contribute. They sit back. They listen to it faithfully. They like it, but they let other people pay the bills, let other people support the station. That's really not right. I mean, you're supporting all sorts of commercial stations through involuntary taxation, in effect. This is your chance to step up to the plate and say, I really want to give whatever I can. If you don't have $60, fine. Give $10. Give $5. It's really for us, it's the number of people who call as much as the money to say, we really step up. This is the sort of program we want. And then I want to underline the other point Jay Pierce was just making. When this show does well with getting a lot of callers and a lot of support, it means that other NPR stations take notice. They're looking for things that are going to appeal in their community. And now we've got a track record. Media Matters is a hit here in mm-hmm. Urbana. Mm-hmm. This is a show that's got a real audience. It's got internet appeal. It's the top show on the internet website for WILL.
Yeah, WILL, we're lucky to have this and the ability to do this. Other stations, as you know, Bob, we've had some inquire, can you syndicate the show? No, not right now. We don't have the resources to do it.
That's right.
We just frankly don't. And I'm not blowing smoke or being lazy or something like that. I'm saying we just don't. We're
That's
not
right.
geared up to do that because it takes technical considerations and then it takes promotion and the like. We would love to do it. I would love to be able to do it. And I think one of the elements in it, Media Minutes, which debuts today, is mm-hmm. going to be syndicated. That's a start. I would love... at the end of the year, the calendar year, to be able to sit down with you and to start working toward syndicating it, and that would be in my plan.
Yeah.
So the amount of support that we get for it, helps to support the overall infrastructure of the station. Let us be able to share this, to spread the gospel.
And let me add one other reason why callers really have to step up to the plate and support this show and support WILL. Make that call to 217-244-9455. We're starting a new segment. We're going to air the very first one today in about 15 minutes called Media Minutes. It's going to be a 5-minute recap of the top media policy news in the country on a weekly basis. And we're going to air it on Media Matters. It's a segment of our show. We're also going to offer it up on website and to any station that wants to carry it independently because it won't require phone in or anything. But when we're putting the show together, we came here to look at the facilities. And I told the producer, they've got great facilities. It's a public station. And he came from the commercial world. And he walked in here and he looked around and said, wow. These guys, there's a whole new generation of technology that they don't have at WILL yet.
Yeah.
And it costs money. And the great thing is it doesn't cost as much money as it used to. The prices are coming down, but it still costs money.
Yeah,
and
it costs money to upgrade it and to have people to install it and configure,
That's right. And that means that's why we need the support. This money does not go to a jacuzzi in Jay Pierce's office. There's no stretch limos. There's no... parties with shrimp cocktail and martinis. There's none of that stuff here. This is a bare bones, downed radio station that serves a community. And, you don't get the station manager working the board on a Sunday if you've got a lot of fat in the budget.
Yeah, now we have a beautiful building, and we have to thank Alice and Robert Campbell for that, and that I think misleads some people to think that we're just plush. But, come on in. I'll give you a tour. I'll show you what we have. We try to be very functional. The money that you contribute goes right back into the programming, and that's it. It's not going to profit anybody. It goes right back in the programming. That's why I say, and you'll hear a lot this week, we can only be as good as you'll help us afford to be. So it's the radio station that you're building. The power is in your hands with this radio station. That can't be said everywhere on the dial, but it can hear at 217-244-9455.
And our guest today is John Nichols here on Media Matters. We're going to run until 2 o'clock. We've got a really exciting show. We're going to have some people calling in to talk to us down the road. John, in addition to the presidential race, we've got Congress, the Senate, and the House is going to be up for grabs again in November.
And that's probably the biggest political news of the last few days,
mm-hmm.
is that the Senate is absolutely in play politically.
Now, currently, the Senate is a one-vote Republican majority. Is that right?
51-49, effectively. You've got 51 Republicans, you have 48 Democrats, and then you have Jim Jeffords caucusing with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So if one seat were to switch in the Senate to the Democrats, you'd have a tie Now, in the current circumstance, of course, Dick Cheney would break that tie, and in my research on him, my inclination is to suggest he would probably vote with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, if we have a new administration...
That's a good bet.
I'd take a shot.
Yeah.
If we have a new administration in next January, of course, a 50-50 tie could give Democrats control.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I mean, we're actually looking at something radical going on in the Senate races around the country.
Now, let me preface this by saying most of the close Senate races are seats that the Democrats had held with retiring people. It looked like the chances were, if anything, the Republicans could increase their lead because these were southern states, many of them.
Without a doubt, that's exactly correct. What happened is that just natural retirement pattern fell very badly for the Democrats this time around. Five southern senators in states that will almost, most of which will vote for George Bush for president this year, are all stepping down. And it's very hard to replace a Democratic incumbent in the South with another Democrat. Usually when a Democratic senator steps down, there's a very good chance that a Republican takes the seat. It's the nature of the region, which is very conservative. In addition, there's just a pattern around the country that seemed to favor the Republicans. But that isn't how it's turned out, and that's a fascinating thing. And this is all of the moment. It's something you'll read about next week or maybe the start of the following week in Time and Newsweek and, mm-hmm. and the Washington Post. But the fact is, something very big has happened out there. And it is essentially that the Republicans got too confident. They saw themselves being in a very good position with the Senate. And so they nominated nuts. And I'm not saying that, you know, to unveil my partisanship one way or the other. There are many able Republicans. I love a lot of the Republicans in the Senate. People like Richard Lugar, who's called this war a disaster because of the incompetence of the administration. People like Lincoln Chafee, a senator from Rhode Island, who says he's not going to vote for Bush for re-election. Of course, Chuck Hagel, the very thoughtful senator from Nebraska. There's plenty of Republicans in the Senate who are able folks, but they've got a lot of candidates out there this time who really are whack jobs.
You're thinking of Oklahoma, I suspect.
In the state of Oklahoma, where a Republican senator is stepping down, there's an open seat. And the Republican nominee, they had the mayor of one of the big cities who was a very able, functional guy. He got beat in the primary by a former congressman named Tom Coburn. This guy has literally destroyed his own candidacy, and it's been a fascinating process. He initially got caught, revelations showed that he had forced women, he's a doctor, a physician, had forced women to be sterilized, or had sterilized women without telling him he was doing it. This has just been a devastating revelation. But the guy didn't back off. Then he just kind of keeps marching on. And he's portrayed the race as good versus evil, all sorts of biblical, injunctions on it. And then the highlight of his candidacy came about a week ago, and it was revealed that he's been going around the state saying one of the reasons he needs to get elected to the Senate is to deal with the problem of lesbianism in the high schools of southwestern Oklahoma. And that may sound like not perhaps the biggest issue going, but he's given these long ranting speeches about how lesbianism is so rampant in the high schools of rural Oklahoma that only one girl is allowed to go to the bathroom at a time. Well, the Oklahoma newspapers actually went out and interviewed principals in those schools and couldn't find a single one that said there was any problem. And so they're starting to develop a little bit of a sense that Mr. Coburn might be slightly delusional. And in an extremely conservative state, right now the Democratic candidate, Brad Carson, looks to have a chance of winning.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We're approaching 1 o'clock. We're a two-hour version today. Those of you who have been listening know it is also Pledge Drive Day, and we have all our phone lines are now wide open for people to call in and make a pledge, 217-244-9455. For a $60 pledge, you can get a copy of your choice of one of three brand-new books. John Nichols' new book, Dick, The Man Who's President, published by New Press, just came out to tremendous reviews, the first authoritative, critical look at Vice President Cheney, his politics, and his role in this administration, or one of my two new books, The Problem of the Media, U.S. Communication Politics in the 21st Century, or Our Unfree Press, which is an anthology of 100 years of the finest writing and media criticism in this country, which I co-edited with Ben Scott. If you make a $120 pledge, you get all three books. But this is the time we need you to step up and make the pledge. much, even if you can't do $60, whatever you can afford. Our target here is not based on money. It's based on the number of callers. We simply need people to call up, step forward and say, I support the programming I'm hearing with guests like John Nichols. I'm interested in getting this perspective. I'm interested in hearing voices I don't normally have a chance to hear, and giving them a chance to really develop an opinion, lay out an argument, not be interrupted. You've never heard me say to a guest, shut up, moron. You will not hear that. Even if sometimes I've wanted to secretively, I will always let my guests speak. And when callers go up, they have an opportunity to ask their questions. They aren't going to be shouted down either or hung up on or ridiculed. This is about civil discussion of the most important issues of our day. And we need your support to do a program like this. You know, we have bills to pay, electricity, machinery, equipment. And the number again, 217-244-9455. Support WILL AM 580, support public radio, and support Media Matters. John, we're talking about the congressional races, and after that pep talk, I must say there's been no sign of life in our phone room yet.
Well, maybe, you know, look, one of the realities is that when you do a two-hour show, and we've talked about this before, we know people wait till the end of the show to give. And the weird thing about it is that, and I appreciate that, it's a wonderful thing that people say, well, I'm not going to let this show finish without giving my contribution. But what we really have tried to do for a long time, and it is a hard struggle, is to get people to recognize that, you know, the way to make a show like this work as a fundraising effort and acknowledging that it is such is to have people give throughout the period and kind of keep that momentum rolling. I mean, one of the things is, and maybe we don't do as good a job of it as we should, Bob, but one of the things that we need to do is to communicate this excitement about what's going on with our politics and with our media in this country. There is a lot of change happening. There's a lot of movements being formed, of people getting engaged, both politically and around media issues. And I think we're at a real turning point in this country. And the thing is, a show like Media Matters is at the heart of that whole struggle, because this is where you see that the two things come together, politics and media. And you're talking about how the media covers our elections, our government, our world affairs, and getting people, you know, kind of engaged. And I think a person who listens to Media Matters every week is probably one of the most informed citizens in America.
And you're listening to WILL AM 580 from Urbana, Illinois. Today is October 17th, 2004. Our guest today is John Nichols, who is joining us on the phone from his home in Madison. We're talking about electoral politics, media coverage, the importance of programs like Media Matters, the importance of stations like WILL AM 580. This is Pledge Drive Day, as we've been talking about. We need you to step up and make your pledge to support this sort of programming. 217-244-9455. Very shortly, we're going to air the first edition of a brand new segment to Media Matters. We're calling it Media Minutes. It's produced by a new PhD student, John Anderson, working here at WILL. It airs for 5 minutes. We want you to sit and enjoy it. The idea behind Media Minutes is to do a 5-minute weekly show, which will sort of cover the main issues and developments in media policy taking place in the nation and in some cases in the world. This is our very first stab at it, and this is a show that's produced by Media Matters. It's not produced by WILL. The same proviso you hear at the beginning of WILL's to this program, to Media Matters, applies to this show as well as our product. In fact, it's done in our own studios over in the Armory. And I don't know if we have it queued up yet. Jay, do we? Why don't we take this? We're going to go right now in a couple minutes to start, in a few seconds to start this. And while you're listening to this, this is an excellent time to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. Get that done in the next 5 minutes. Then we'll come back and we're going to be talking to Janine Garofalo, John Nichols, and some other guests. But let's go right now to the first edition of Media Minutes.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
Still believe the myth of a liberal media? Then explain this. Sinclair Broadcast Group, owner of 62 television stations across the country, is forcing its stations to broadcast an anti-John Kerry documentary during prime time, just 2 weeks before the November 2nd election. It's the latest in a long series of projects where Sinclair's leveraged its access to the airwaves for political purposes. The company and its executives are unabashedly right-wing, having given 98% of their political donations to Republicans in the last 3 election cycles. Then there is the propaganda Sinclair doles out under the guise of news every day.
has a lifetime of experience in foreign policy. Unfortunately, it is a lifetime of supporting communist forces opposed to the U.S. in Vietnam or by doing their bidding.
That's the voice of Mark Hyman, Sinclair's vice president for corporate relations, with a little segment he calls The Point. Sinclair's been systematically killing off local newsrooms and replacing them with a centralized news feed from corporate headquarters. And part of the mandatory package is Hyman's commentary. When Urbana-Champaign, Illinois resident Jan Cruz first got a taste of The Point, she was shocked that such a partisan screed could be aired without the chance for a balanced reply.
I have called the local station. My husband and I both have called, and they always say, we can't do anything about it. Sinclair out of Baltimore owns us. They tell us what to do.
Jan felt betrayed by the station's failure to disclose both who Mark Hyman was and just where he was talking from.
You know, this is a local station that I turn to for local news. When I see Mark Hyman from Baltimore, I don't feel like I'm getting a local perspective, and they say, we can't do anything, write to the FCC.
Sinclair's partisan spin is a secret no more. In Urbana and elsewhere, petition campaigns are now underway asking people to stop watching Sinclair stations and boycott advertisers that do business with them. Jan Cruz and the local anti-war organization she's affiliated with are involved in this effort, and they're discovering a palpable sense that the public is aware of Sinclair and what it's up to.
The people I've talked to, they all thought they were alone trying to complain and be upset about what they see on a local station and the direction it's gone. And it was just the wonderful thing I found is that there's a lot of people out there looking to accomplish the same goal, which is to bring democracy back to the media.
To learn more about Sinclair and how to de-spin its propaganda efforts, go online and visit sinclairwatch.org.
Well, there's kind of shock. We're historians. We're supposed to be here to...
That's the sound of the FCC pulling the plug on Free Radio Santa Cruz on September 29th. The raid silenced a station that had operated without interference for nearly 10 years, broadcasting as an act of electronic civil disobedience against a radio licensing system that keeps the public off the public airwaves. The FCC's been busy in the last month, hitting a total of 5 stations in 4 states. When the FCC raided Free Radio Santa Cruz, community response was quick. More than 100 people showed up on the spot to watch the confiscation in progress. One of them was Santa Cruz Mayor Scott Kennedy.
Last September, the Santa Cruz City Council voted a resolution supporting Free Radio Santa Cruz when there was an earlier threat to shut them down. So I know I'm speaking on behalf of the City Council and saying that we consider this especially inappropriate. It's against the will of the people of Santa Cruz. It's against the will of the Santa Cruz City Council.
A similar pattern of raids against micro radio stations took place just before the 2000 elections. Yet Free Radio Santa Cruz won't stay silent. A station co-founder nicknamed Skidmark Bob says even though it may be against the law, they'll be back on the air.
We've been getting extensive coverage. We've gotten mass calls to our voicemail. Our community has come together. Our farmers market donated a couple $100. We're getting equipment and we're trying to get it together. And we will be back on FM, unlicensed micropower radio.
Special thanks to the Santa Cruz Independent Media Center for audio help with that story. And now, here's this week's Fast Fact. Surveys of journalists and the public they serve show a clear fear of media consolidation. 73% of journalists believe that buyouts of news organizations by big diversified corporations has a negative effect on journalism. And in a public survey done 4 years ago, 86% of people were at least somewhat concerned about media mergers, with half saying they were highly concerned, showing that the problem isn't new and it's not getting any better. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Okie dokie, I'm Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters Today on WILL AM 580, and you've just been listening to the very first edition of Media Minutes, which will be a new segment we'll be airing every week here on Media Matters at 101, from 101 to 106. We've been on the air, as some of you know, for the last hour. We're going now our standard time until 2 o'clock here, and it is pledge drive. And we've got John Nichols on the phone from Madison talking to us about electoral politics, what's coming up, and media issues. The number here for the pledge drive, again, 217-244-9455. And we're going to go to Pledge Central in a few seconds. But first, we've got John Anderson here, who is the producer of Media Minutes. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob.
And so give me a sense of what's this show going to be covering every week?
Well, we're hoping to cover issues of media policy that affect the public or that can educate the public. We're looking at things like various reform efforts, various media policy activism efforts. And basically, the format is going to be 5 minutes, and we're going to try to get into three, maybe four stories to talk about these issues, talk to people who are actively working on these issues, and hopefully educate the public in how they can get involved in helping to change the media environment in a greater democratic fashion.
Now, you come from the world of commercial radio, originally, is that correct?
Yes. Actually, I graduated from college, my undergraduate degree, in 1996, the year the Telecom Act was passed. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell me about that in class. And I watched newsrooms wither and die on the vine, and I realized that the farther up in market size you got, the less of a journalist you were and the more you were an entertainer or a personality. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't handle it anymore, so I left in 2000.
I mean, you've really lived the life of a journalist. I hear from journalists all over this country, in radio especially, in television, that what's happening with consolidation of ownership is basically destroying the craft. And that's why you find so many people like yourself coming to community stations, to public stations, to non-commercial stations. It's the only place they have can do the work they want to do, the craft
and it's the only place that offers a job nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the great irony of that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, thank you so much, John. We're going to be talking to you regularly. And what we're going to do now, John Nichols, you still there?
I sure am.
Do you have a question or comment about Media Minutes?
Hey, I think it's good. Do you have any idea how many stations it's going to be on? What's the?
Well, we're negotiating with Sinclair right now.
Really? 62 right there.
Yeah, but
the goal is to take it out.
Yeah, we'll be the counterpoint to the point.
I just think it's a great idea because I do believe that. This is one of the fascinating things we see in the media all over the country now is that there's a lot of independent and community stations, public broadcast, local community stations, that have a committed base of activists who want to put the programming on. But what they have a challenge with is getting feeds nationally and, you know, getting something like what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. So I would assume there's going to be a tremendous market for it.
No, we certainly hope so. And again, thanks for coming in, John.
No problem.
I think, Jay, we need to go to Pledge Central now. We've got an update from the people in the central headquarters.
Yes, we are out in central headquarters. We've had 44 calls in, actually, Bob, during that first hour.
There.
That's terrific. And we've got a couple of challenges we'd like to announce also. We've had a caller from Muhammad who will add $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m. for a total of up to $200.
Terrific.
So let us know if you're a new member. Now's a great time to join. We also have heard from Terry Davis from Town Square Jewelers down in Charleston. He will double his very generous pledge if we hear from four other jewelry stores during Media Matters this hour. So let us know if you're calling in for your business and your jewelry store. The other encouraging thing, Bob, is and John, is that we're hearing from folks from all over the place, not just from folks like Daniel James from Urbana. Thanks, Dan, and Charles Seagard from Champaign. We've heard from Ken Green in Saybrook. We've heard from Chester Always in Muhammad. Thanks a lot, Chet, a good supporter of the station. Barbara Lawrence from Charleston. We've heard from Maureen Holtz from Monticello. We've heard from Frank Gentner in Ottawa, up in Ottawa. Thanks very much, Frank. And we've heard from Jonathan Dury, and Jonathan lives in San Diego, California, and he's listening to us on the internet. Thanks a lot. And so things are happening. You can get through right now, though. Our lines are open at 217-244-9455.
And I'd like to remind our listeners that if you do call in and pledge, that we have three books. So you'll have your choice of them if you make the standard $60 pledge. One is John Nichols' brand-new book, Dick, the Man Who is President, published by New Press. And if I may say so, and I granted I'm prejudiced, it's one of the best books I've read, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the great reads. If you like politics, if you're interested in media, this is a book. This is going to be pure pleasure. This is not an assigned reading book.
Well, if I can tell you my favorite circumstance that's developed, even conservative critics, who have not loved the book in every way, have generally been pretty generous about the writing. But one of the lines they keep using is, "This is Fahrenheit 9/11 in print," or a Fahrenheit 9/11 for Cheney. Mm-hmm. And I think they think of that as a criticism. I take it as the greatest possible praise. I was with Michael Moore last night when he spoke to 7,000 people here in Madison, and I think that I hope that what Dick does is begin to do the examination of Dick Cheney that's going to be needed. Whether this administration wins or loses, we've got to take a serious look at what this man has done to our government and the ways in which he has warped our policymaking. And frankly, if a Kerry administration comes in, we have to do a lot of work to make sure that the Cheney imprint is taken off the federal government on things like energy policy, judicial appointments, tax policy, because if it's left there, it will warp our future in ways that I think most Americans can't even begin to imagine.
You know, John, you just said you were with Michael Moore last night in Madison before 7,000 people. He's in the middle of a slacker uprising tour, I think 60 or 70 dates over 4 weeks, mostly in the swing states like Wisconsin. And I know at the same time we've got leading musicians, Bruce Springsteen, the Dixie Chicks, traveling around the country doing concerts basically in favor of the Kerry campaign. Do you think this is having any effect?
Well, I think the Moore thing last night was pretty remarkable. I've actually seen Kerry and Edwards come out and do events that didn't draw as many people. So I do think that we have a phenomenon that's taking place in this country where, especially in the outreach to younger voters, there's an effort to, you know, put people up front who are willing to speak a lot more bluntly than candidates are. And frankly, what Moore had to say was far more aggressive, far more passionate than a lot of what you've heard from the Kerry Edwards ticket. And I think it has an impact. I do think it takes young people who, you know, might be asking whether it's worth the effort to go vote and gives them a little bit of meat and puts somebody they trust in front of them, giving them some information. The same goes for the rock concerts. You know, this Voices for Change tour that Springsteen and others have been involved with, it doesn't, you know, jam a lot of politics down people's throats. It essentially is a lot of music with a few basic messages kind of mixed in. And I think that's a very effective way to do politics. You know, what we need in this country is to find ways to get to that 50% of Americans that don't usually vote in presidential elections. And the thing I love about the 2004 race, and this is true on both the left and the right, is that I think both sides are making a more aggressive effort to reach out beyond their base of traditional voters. The frustration I have with this year, and this is something Moore talked a lot about last night, is that especially the Republicans seem to be extremely frightened by the massive new registrations they're seeing among young people, and particularly in black neighborhoods of urban areas. And so there's a lot of efforts to kind of crack down on new voters, to kind of make it tougher for them to get to the polls, to make it tougher for them to get that vote registered and counted. And so I think that the election on November 2nd is going to be a really intense one, and there's going to be a lot of battling back and forth. I fear we face a real prospect that the 2004 race, much like the 2000 race, won't be finished on the night of November 2nd.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. This is a pledge drive week for Media Matters. We need you to step up to the plate. If you have not called in, please make the call now, 217-244-9455. If you have called in, I love you. I wish you were here. I would hug you. I think you're a wonderful human being. I think you have great karma, and I think you can sit back in peace and feel not a shred of Calvinist or Lutheran guilt, and you can enjoy yourselves. And you can listen. We have a caller I want to take right now who's a colleague of yours, John, at The Nation magazine, and who's been a guest on the show, Eric Alderman. Hey, Eric, you there?
I'm here, but I don't want a hug.
No, you won't get one, don't worry. Okay. You haven't given us any money.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're safe. Well, Eric, thank you for calling. I know you don't have much time, but I just wanted to let you call in and just your sense of where the election's going right now. I know you've been covering it as closely as anyone.
Well, my sense is, and at this point we're all flying blind, my sense is because of the efforts that John was just talking about, that the polls aren't telling us what we need to know. That it's so close everywhere that it will depend on really two things. One is both sides' ground game, quote-unquote, which means getting their people out to vote. The Democrats and the 527s, like America's Coming Together, have done a very good job of registering new voters, more so than in any other campaign I've ever seen. And I think that ought to make the difference and elect Kerry. I think that ought to. But the Republicans will do everything they can to prevent new voters from voting in places. And I still fear that the margin of error could be held by Nader supporters. I do think that Nader's hovering from between 1% and around 2.5%. In some places, he's as high as 5%. And Kerry just doesn't have that margin of error. And I tell you the truth, I just don't get it. All of the arguments that were there for Nader 4 years ago, which, as you know, I was very critical of then, are not there anymore. He's not building a new party. He's not building an alternative. He doesn't even claim to do. He's running on the formerly nativist ticket of the Reform Party. He doesn't have the support of any of his high-profile supporters, and he certainly can't claim that there's not a dime's worth of difference between these two candidates, as he claimed last time. George Bush may have been able to fool some people 4 years ago, but now he's got a record, and it's an incredibly radical one. So I don't know, maybe you've got some insight into this, Bob, but I just don't get it. I mean, I'm not in love with John Kerry. I certainly have major differences with him, but I can tell the difference between two candidates, and that's really my major concern on the left this year. I'm going to Florida tomorrow to give a talk in the hopes of making this point over and over, but I have an exchange, maybe you saw it in The Nation this week, with the head of the Nader campaign, and I just find their arguments to be as divorced from reality as those of George Bush.
217-244-9455. Support WILL AM 580, support public radio, and support Media Matters. John, we're talking about the congressional races, and after that pep talk, I must say there's been no sign of life in our phone room yet.
Well, maybe, you know, look, one of the realities is that when you do a two-hour show, and we've talked about this before, we know people wait till the end of the show to give. And the weird thing about it is that, and I appreciate that, it's a wonderful thing that people say, well, I'm not going to let this show finish without giving my contribution. But what we really have tried to do for a long time, and it is a hard struggle, is to get people to recognize that, you know, the way to make a show like this work as a fundraising effort and acknowledging that it is such is to have people give throughout the period and kind of keep that momentum rolling. I mean, one of the things is, and maybe we don't do as good a job of it as we should, Bob, but one of the things that we need to do is to communicate this excitement about what's going on with our politics and with our media in this country. There is a lot of change happening. There's a lot of movements being formed, of people getting engaged, both politically and around media issues. And I think we're at a real turning point in this country. And the thing is, a show like Media Matters is at the heart of that whole struggle, because this is where you see that the two things come together, politics and media, and you're talking about how the media covers our elections, our government, our world affairs, and getting people, you know, kind of engaged. And I think a person who listens to Media Matters every week is probably one of the most informed citizens in America.
And you're listening to WILL AM 580 from Urbana, Illinois. Today is October 17th, 2004. Our guest today is John Nichols, who is joining us on the phone from his home in Madison. We're talking about electoral politics, media coverage, the importance of programs like Media Matters, the importance of stations like WILL AM 580. This is Pledge Drive Day, as we've been talking about. We need you to step up and make your pledge to support this sort of programming. 217-244-9455. Very shortly, we're going to air the first edition of a brand new segment to Media Matters. We're calling it Media Minutes. It's produced by a new PhD student, John Anderson, working here at WILL. It airs for 5 minutes. We want you to sit and enjoy it. The idea behind Media Minutes is to do a 5-minute weekly show, which will sort of cover the main issues and developments in media policy taking place in the nation and, in some cases, in the world. This is our very first stab at it, and this is a show that's produced by Media Matters. It's not produced by WILL. The same proviso you hear at the beginning of WILL's to this program, to Media Matters, applies to this show as well as our product. In fact, it's done in our own studios over in the Armory. And I don't know if we have it queued up yet. Jay, do we? Why don't we take this? We're going to go right now in a couple minutes to start, in a few seconds to start this. And while you're listening to this, this is an excellent time to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. Get that done in the next 5 minutes. Then we'll come back and we're going to be talking to Janine Garofalo, John Nichols, and some other guests. But let's go right now to the first edition of Media Minutes.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
Still believe the myth of a liberal media? Then explain this. Sinclair Broadcast Group, owner of 62 television stations across the country, is forcing its stations to broadcast an anti-John Kerry documentary during prime time, just 2 weeks before the November 2nd election. It's the latest in a long series of projects where Sinclair's leveraged its access to the airwaves for political purposes. The company and its executives are unabashedly right-wing, having given 98% of their political donations to Republicans in the last 3 election cycles. Then there is the propaganda Sinclair doles out under the guise of news every day.
Kerry has a lifetime of experience in foreign policy. Unfortunately, it is a lifetime of supporting communist forces opposed to the U.S. in Vietnam or by doing their bidding.
That's the voice of Mark Hyman, Sinclair's vice president for corporate relations, with a little segment he calls The Point. Sinclair's been systematically killing off local newsrooms and replacing them with a centralized news feed from corporate headquarters. And part of the mandatory package is Hyman's commentary. When Urbana-Champaign, Illinois resident Jan Cruz first got a taste of The Point, she was shocked that such a partisan screed could be aired without the chance for a balanced reply.
I have called the local station. My husband and I both have called, and they always say, we can't do anything about it. Sinclair out of Baltimore owns us. They tell us what to do.
Jan felt betrayed by the station's failure to disclose both who Mark Hyman was and just where he was talking from.
You know, this is a local station that I turn to for local news. When I see Mark Hyman from Baltimore, I don't feel like I'm getting a local perspective, and they say, we can't do anything, write to the FCC.
Sinclair's partisan spin is a secret no more. In Urbana and elsewhere, petition campaigns are now underway asking people to stop watching Sinclair stations and boycott advertisers that do business with them. Jan Cruz and the local anti-war organization she's affiliated with are involved in this effort, and they're discovering a palpable sense that the public is aware of Sinclair and what it's up to.
The people I've talked to, they all thought they were alone trying to complain and be upset about what they see on a local station and the direction it's gone. And it was just the wonderful thing I found is that there's a lot of people out there looking to accomplish the same goal, which is to bring democracy back to the media.
To learn more about Sinclair and how to de-spin its propaganda efforts, go online and visit sinclairwatch.org.
Well, there's kind of shock. We're historians. We're supposed to be here to...
That's the sound of the FCC pulling the plug on Free Radio Santa Cruz on September 29th. The raid silenced a station that had operated without interference for nearly 10 years, broadcasting as an act of electronic civil disobedience against a radio licensing system that keeps the public off the public airwaves. The FCC's been busy in the last month, hitting a total of 5 stations in 4 states. When the FCC raided Free Radio Santa Cruz, community response was quick. More than 100 people showed up on the spot to watch the confiscation in progress. One of them was Santa Cruz Mayor Scott Kennedy.
Last September, the Santa Cruz City Council voted a resolution supporting Free Radio Santa Cruz when there was an earlier threat to shut them down. So I know I'm speaking on behalf of the City Council and saying that we consider this especially inappropriate. It's against the will of the people of Santa Cruz. It's against the will of the Santa Cruz City Council.
A similar pattern of raids against micro radio stations took place just before the 2000 elections. Yet Free Radio Santa Cruz won't stay silent. A station co-founder nicknamed Skidmark Bob says even though it may be against the law, they'll be back on the air.
We've been getting extensive coverage. We've gotten mass calls to our voicemail. Our community has come together. Our farmers market donated a couple $100. We're getting equipment and we're trying to get it together. And we will be back on FM, unlicensed micropower radio.
Special thanks to the Santa Cruz Independent Media Center for audio help with that story. And now, here's this week's Fast Fact. Surveys of journalists and the public they serve show a clear fear of media consolidation. 73% of journalists believe that buyouts of news organizations by big diversified corporations has a negative effect on journalism. And in a public survey done 4 years ago, 86% of people were at least somewhat concerned about media mergers, with half saying they were highly concerned, showing that the problem isn't new and it's not getting any better. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Okie dokie, I'm Bob McChesson. You're listening to Media Matters Today on WILL AM 580, and you've just were listening to the very first edition of Media Minutes, which will be a new segment we'll be airing every week here on Media Matters at 101, from 101 to 106. We've been on the air, as some of you know, for the last hour. We're going now our standard time until 2 o'clock here, and it is pledge drive. And we've got John Nichols on the phone from Madison talking to us about electoral politics, what's coming up, and media issues. The number here for the pledge drive, again, 217-244-9455. And we're going to go to Pledge Central in a few seconds. But first, we've got John Anderson here, who is the producer of Media Minutes. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob.
And so give me a sense of what's this show going to be covering every week?
Well, we're hoping to cover issues of media policy that affect the public or that can educate the public. We're looking at things like various reform efforts, various media policy activism efforts. And basically, the format is going to be 5 minutes, and we're going to try to get into three, maybe four stories to talk about these issues, talk to people who are actively working on these issues, and hopefully educate the public in how they can get involved in helping to change the media environment in a greater democratic fashion.
Now, you come from the world of commercial radio, is that correct?
Yes. Actually, I graduated from college, my undergraduate degree, in 1996, the year the Telecom Act was passed. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell me about that in class. And I watched newsrooms wither and die on the vine, and I realized that the farther up in market size you got, the less of a journalist you were and the more you were an entertainer or a personality. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't handle it anymore, so I left in 2000.
I mean, you've really lived the life of a journalist. I hear from journalists all over this country, in radio especially, in television, that what's happening with consolidation of ownership is basically destroying the craft. And that's why you find so many people like yourself coming to community stations, to public stations, and on commercial stations. It's the only place they have can do the work they want to do, the craft
and
of journalists.
And it's the only place that offers a job nowadays.
Yeah, you know, the great irony of that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, thank you so much, John. We're going to be talking to you regularly. And what we're going to do now, John Nichols, you still there?
I sure am.
Do you have a question or comment about Media Minutes?
Hey, I think it's good. Do you have any idea how many stations it's going to be on? What's the?
Well, we're negotiating with Sinclair right now.
Really? 62 right there.
Yeah, but
the goal
is
to take it out.
Yeah, we'll be the counterpoint to the point.
I just think it's a great idea because I do believe that. This is one of the fascinating things we see in the media all over the country now is that there's a lot of independent and community stations, public broadcast, local community stations, that have a committed base of activists who want to put the programming on. But what they have a challenge with is getting feeds nationally and, you know, getting something like what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. So I would assume there's going to be a tremendous market for it.
No, we certainly hope so. And again, thanks for coming in, John.
No problem.
I think, Jay, we need to go to Pledge Central now. We've got an update from the people in the Central Headquarters.
Yes, we are out in Central Headquarters. We've had 44 calls in, actually, Bob, during that first hour.
There.
That's terrific. And we've got a couple of challenges we'd like to announce also. We've had a caller from Muhammad who will add $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m. for a total of up to $200.
Terrific.
So let us know if you're a new member. Now's a great time to join. We also have heard from Terry Davis from Town Square Jewelers down in Charleston. He will double his very generous pledge if we hear from four other jewelry stores during Media Matters this hour. So let us know if you're calling in for your business and your jewelry store. The other encouraging thing, Bob, is and John, is that we're hearing from folks from all over the place, not just from folks like Daniel James from Urbana. Thanks, Dan, and Charles Seagard from Champaign. We've heard from Ken Green in Saybrook. We've heard from Chester Always in Muhammad. Thanks a lot, Chet, a good supporter of the station. Barbara Lawrence from Charleston. We've heard from Maureen Holtz from Monticello. We've heard from Frank Gentner in Ottawa. Thanks very much, Frank. And we've heard from Jonathan Dury, and Jonathan lives in San Diego, California. And he's listening to us on the internet. Thanks a lot. And so things are happening. You can get through right now, though our lines are open at 217-244-9455.
And I'd like to remind our listeners that if you do call in and pledge, that we have three books. So you'll have your choice of them if you make the standard $60 pledge. One is John Nichols' brand new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, published by New Press. And if I may say so, and I granted I'm prejudiced, it's one of the best books I've read, and I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the great reads. If you like politics, if you're interested in media, this is a book. This is going to be pure pleasure. This is not an assigned reading book.
Well, if I can tell you my favorite circumstance that's developed, even conservative critics, who have not loved the book in every way, have generally been pretty generous about the writing. But one of the lines they keep using is, "This is Fahrenheit 9/11 in print," or Fahrenheit 9/11 for Cheney. Mm-hmm. And I think they think of that as a criticism. I take it as the greatest possible praise. I was with Michael Moore last night when he spoke to 7,000 people here in Madison, and I think that I hope that what Dick does is begin to do the examination of Dick Cheney that's going to be needed. Whether this administration wins or loses, we've got to take a serious look at what this man has done to our government and the ways in which he has warped our policymaking. And frankly, if a Kerry administration comes in, we have to do a lot of work to make sure that the Cheney imprint is taken off the federal government on things like energy policy, judicial appointments, tax policy, because if it's left there, it will warp our future in ways that I think most Americans can't even begin to imagine.
You know, John, you just said you were with Michael Moore last night in Madison before 7,000 people. He's in the middle of a slacker uprising tour, I think 60 or 70 dates over 4 weeks, mostly in the swing states like Wisconsin. And I know at the same time we've got leading musicians, Bruce Springsteen, the Dixie Chicks, traveling around the country doing concerts basically in favor of the Kerry campaign. Do you think this is having any effect?
Well, I think the Moore thing last night was pretty remarkable. I've actually seen Kerry and Edwards come out and do events that didn't draw as many people. So I do think that we have a phenomenon that's taking place in this country where, especially in the outreach to younger voters, there's an effort to, you know, put people up front who are willing to speak a lot more bluntly than candidates are. And frankly, what Moore had to say was far more aggressive, far more passionate than a lot of what you've heard from the Kerry Edwards ticket. And I think it has an impact. I do think it takes young people who, you know, might be asking whether it's worth the effort to go vote and gives them a little bit of meat and puts somebody they trust in front of them, giving them some information. The same goes for the rock concerts. You know, this Voices for Change tour that Springsteen and others have been involved with, it doesn't, you know, jam a lot of politics down people's throats. It essentially is a lot of music with a few basic messages kind of mixed in. And I think that's a very effective way to do politics. You know, what we need in this country is to find ways to get to that 50% of Americans that don't usually vote in presidential elections. And the thing I love about the 2004 race, and this is true on both the left and the right, is that I think both sides are making a more aggressive effort to reach out beyond their base of traditional voters. The frustration I have with this year, and this is something Moore talked a lot about last night, is that especially the Republicans seem to be extremely frightened by the massive new registrations they're seeing among young people, and particularly in black neighborhoods of urban areas. And so there's a lot of efforts to kind of crack down on new voters, to kind of make it tougher for them to get to the polls, to make it tougher for them to get that vote registered and counted. And so I think that the election on November 2nd is going to be a really intense one, and there's going to be a lot of battling back and forth. I fear we face a real prospect that the 2004 race, much like the 2000 race, won't be finished on the night of November 2nd.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. This is a pledge drive week for Media Matters. We need you to step up to the plate. If you have not called in, please make the call now, 217-244-9455. If you have called in, I love you. I wish you were here. I would hug you. I think you're a wonderful human being. I think you have great karma, and I think you can sit back in peace and feel not a shred of Calvinist or Lutheran guilt, and you can enjoy yourselves. And you can listen. We have a caller I want to take right now who's a colleague of yours, John, at The Nation magazine, and who's been a guest on the show, Eric Alderman. Hey, Eric, you there?
I'm here, but I don't want a hug.
No, you won't get one, don't worry. Okay. You haven't given us any money.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're safe. Well, Eric, thank you for calling. I know you don't have much time, but I just, you know, just wanted to let you call in and just your sense of where the election's going right now. I know you've been covering it as closely as anyone.
Well, my sense is, and at this point we're all flying blind, my sense is because of the efforts that John was just talking about, that the polls aren't telling us what we need to know. That it's so close everywhere that it will depend on really two things. One is both sides' ground game, quote-unquote, which means getting their people out to vote. The Democrats and the 527s, like America's Coming Together, have done a very good job of registering new voters, more so than in any other campaign I've ever seen. And I think that ought to make the difference and elect Kerry. I think that ought to. But the Republicans will do everything they can to prevent new voters from voting in places. And I still fear that the margin of error could be held by Nader supporters. I do think that Nader's hovering from between 1% and around 2.5%. In some places, he's as high as 5%. And Kerry just doesn't have that margin of error. And I tell you the truth, I just don't get it. All of the arguments that were there for Nader 4 years ago, which, as you know, I was very critical of then, are not there anymore.
He's not building a new party. He's not building an alternative. He doesn't even claim to do. He's running on the formerly nativist ticket of the Reform Party. He doesn't have the support of any of his high-profile supporters, and he certainly can't claim that there's not a dime's worth of difference between these two candidates, as he claimed last time. George Bush may have been able to fool some people 4 years ago, but now he's got a record, and it's an incredibly radical one. So I don't know, maybe you've got some insight into this, Bob, but I just don't get it. I mean, I'm not in love with John Kerry. I certainly have major differences with him, but I can tell the difference between two candidates, and that's really my major concern on the left this year. I'm going to Florida tomorrow to give a talk in the hopes of making this point over and over, but I have an exchange, maybe you saw it in The Nation this week, with the head of the Nader campaign, and I just find their arguments to be as divorced from reality as those of George Bush.
You know, let's bring John in here. John, you're in Wisconsin. This is a state that actually could come down to literally a 1,000 votes, settling it if Bush makes a surge there.
Very easily.
And then would Eric's, do you think Eric's concern would hold true there?
Well, I think Eric's concern is real. I mean, the fact is that it is very possible now, if you look at the polling out of the battleground states, I count 8 states in which the polling is close enough and kind of goes back and forth enough that a 1-2% vote for Ralph Nader could be equal to the number of votes that makes a difference. So you've got 8 states, 8 battleground states, where that's reality, certainly enough to tip the presidential election. I think when all is said and done, though, and I think Eric's been an awfully big part of this, it is very unlikely that many people are going to vote for Ralph Nader by mistake. I think we're going to see a great dwindling of the level of Nader support. I don't know how low it's going to go, but I do suspect you're now down into the true believers. And I saw Michael Moore last night, who was a Nader backer in 2000, do a remarkable job for about a half hour of kind of engaging, you know, in this large crowd of people, the small portion who were Nader supporters, and saying, you know, look, guys, it may feel good to vote for Ralph Nader because he's pure, you know, he's right on every issue. But understand, voting isn't about feeling good. And his analogy was that, you know, when you were 14 years old, right, you'd think, you know, oh, God, I can do this. It'd be a lot of fun. And your parents would tell you, you know, some actions that only take 5 minutes have lifelong consequences. I believe he's making a sex reference. But I think it was actually very effective because he was saying, you know, look, it might be fun and easy to vote for Ralph Nader. It might even make you feel good for 5 minutes. But if you reelect George Bush, that's lifelong consequences. And I think there's a lot of people, Eric, Moore, others, who are delivering that message. And I bet you come Election Day, you're going to see a very small Nader.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm
left. It's the challenge you've got in front of you, Eric.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for calling in on our pledge drive day here at WILL. And we'll be in touch and hope to have you as a guest on the show again soon.
Thanks for everything you do, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Eric. And we are a pledge drive, as I said, and I just got the word from central headquarters here. They sent down their courier.
Uh-oh.
And we have 51 callers. That means we need 49 callers in the next...
Actually, Bob, I think 49 is kind of a low... I mean, you don't want to just meet the number.
Yeah, that's just rock bottom. That's ante, so I'm allowed to use the men's room here.
As you tried to do. You know, I mean, I think we can do a lot better. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say is, by the way, what is that phone number?
The number is 217-244-9455. Our phone lines are wide open. We've got a staff down there that's been loaded up with caffeine and is ready to go.
They can take those calls fast?
They can take them fast, and they'd love to. And remember, we have for a $60 pledge, you can have a copy of John Nichols' brand-new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, published by New Press, to tremendous acclaim, or a copy of either of my new books, The Problem of the Media, or Our Unfree Press, which I co-edited with Ben Scott, which is an anthology of the greatest press criticism of the last 100 years. We've got 10 phones wide open with operators at each of them waiting to hear from people. And I just want to repeat that, 90% of the people who listen to the show never contribute. If you don't have a lot of money, we understand. We aren't expecting you to break into your savings account. But anything you can give us that you can afford will help. Just think of the value of this show, of this station, of this commentary. You're listening to it. Obviously, you have valuable time. We need to pay our bills to have guests like John on, to have people calling in like Eric, to get new equipment here so we can handle more callers. None of this is free. Our budgets here, as you probably know, at WILL have been cut to the bone over the last few years. We're increasingly dependent on callers. We need callers to do it. We need our listeners to support us. We don't want to have underwriters. Believe me, the last thing I ever want on this show is, you know, a diaper service or something bankrolling it. I want this to be purely caller-driven. It's not going to ever go commercial. But that means we need people to step up to the plate at 217-244-9455. Say, yeah, I stand for Media Matters. I want this sort of programming. And I want to have a chance to have a show like this spread to other stations, to have this become more commonplace on the NPR network. And I want to have more local content. And the local content, which is the heart and soul of what WINL does so well, that's what costs money. The cheap route is just to run a robot station, a public clear channel, and just beam in the shows from Washington or New York. The tough stuff, the stuff that's really valuable, is getting local journalists, people in the community, covering the community. That's what WILL does, that costs money, and that's where we need people in the community to say, I want that. I want my community covered, and I don't want to marinate it in a bunch of advertising. So the number, again, 217-244-9455. They set the bar high for us, 100 calls for 2 hours, an all-time record for WILL by a wide margin. I mean, this is like Barry Bonds staring down 73 home runs a couple of years ago. You know, and it's but we're ready for it. Our listeners are ready for it. We've been waiting for this challenge. We enjoy this challenge. We're ready to go out and raise the money, get the show the support for this type of broadcasting, for this type of radio. John, I want to go back to the Senate race, and I want to talk about Sinclair before we get off. But
Definitely.
But one Senate race that was considered a slam dunk for the Republicans was Kentucky.
Yeah, and that is the best thing.
I mean, this is, and we've got listeners down there because, you know, our signal does stretch right across the river.
Get out of here. All right. Well, these are people we need to be talking to.
Yeah, it's a really amazing story with what's happening in the Kentucky race.
This is something people ought to be excited about. And again, I don't mean to keep banging on our media, but I wish our media in the United States covered politics as opposed to just, you know, personalities and horse race stuff. Something dramatic is shifting in Senate races around the country, but the biggest shift is in Kentucky, and it's just flat out amazing. Now, you're a sports junkie. You know Jim Bunning.
Know him well.
And a great baseball player, lousy senator by all accounts. He's been in the Senate for one term. He was very narrowly elected back in 1998. And when he got elected to the Senate, he was a pretty standard right-wing Republican, not a particularly exciting figure. But by all accounts, in the last year or so, he's began to suffer from some form of mental degeneration. People aren't quite clear what it is, but this is not some sort of extreme statement by me.
A pejorative comment. This is actually literally a medical.
No, it's a big buzz in Kentucky. In fact, the daily newspapers, like the Courier Journal in Louisville and the Lexington Herald, have been, you know, kind of raising this concern about dementia. But what's going on, you know, without making judgments on the guy, within the last couple months, Bunning has, when he visited the Quilters Hall of in Paducah, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
Requested additional police protection because Al-Qaeda might attack him there. Then he was asked about his Democratic opponent, who happens to be of Italian heritage, and he said, well, he looks like Uday and Qusay Hussein, Saddam Hussein's sons, and he dresses like them, too. he just had repeatedly weird statements. He charged the other day that supporters of his opponent, Dan Mongiardo, had attacked and beaten his wife at a political picnic a month or so ago. But there are pictures of his wife leaving the picnic looking in fine shape. I mean, just bizarre statements culminating in a debate last Monday where Bunning was supposed to come back to Kentucky and debate Dan Mongiardo, who's this very, you know, appealing state senator, a physician, attractive candidate in a lot of ways. Bunning had promised to be there for the debate. Then his aides called up and said he can't come to the debate because he has votes to meet in Washington. But there were no votes. And then they demanded that if he did participate in the debate via satellite, that the Mongiardo campaign agree not to use any video from the debate in television commercials and all sorts of other rules. The Mongiardo campaign actually accepted all the rules. Then Bunning comes on the debate, and he demanded that the camera only focus on his face. And people are like, well, why is he doing this? It was only afterward that people found out he had a teleprompter in front of him. And he was actually getting his statements fed to him by aides throughout the debate. So there's this very strong sense that, Bunning has just sort of lost it. And in the last few days, the two major daily newspapers in the state both endorsed Mangiardo for the U.S. Senate. This is a remarkable phenomenon that a challenger who just a couple weeks ago had no money and really an uphill
race. It was like 20 or 30 points down, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, it's actually, it was always a little closer than that because Bunning was a very, he's a mean guy and people didn't like him that much.
He was a mean pitcher, too.
Yeah, well, but now it's the line is that the race is within about 6 points. And this could be the most dramatic political upset of the year. And this Mangiardo is a really fascinating figure. He's a working class kid, went to medical school, and instead of moving off to some suburb of Cleveland or Chicago to make a lot of money, he went back to his home turf of Hazard, Kentucky, to deliver care to the elderly miners in rural Kentucky. And he knows the healthcare system up and down. It looks like if he makes it to the Senate, he could be quite a contributor.
You know, John, I think our Kentucky listenership has plummeted because the number of callers we've had since we've talked about this race is collapsed. We now have no phone lines busy.
We better get back into
talking about 10 lines wide open. 10 callers can call in and get an operator waiting for them. This is Pledge Time Drive here on WILL AM 580. We only do it a couple times a year. And here it is, Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We come to you twice a year and ask you to, for your support to show that you support this type of programming, that you support public radio, non-commercial broadcasting, that you support locally oriented local public radio as well, which is what WILL does, I think, as well as any station in the country. But it only happens if you call and support us. We have a drive here. You know, Jay Pierce, the station manager, just put a note in front of me. It says that they figured out the budget, and it costs $93 to support an hour to run WILL radio.
$93?
$93 is what it costs for a single hour. So if someone's thinking, well, what would be a nice thing, man, if everyone just could support a couple hours and say, you know, like people give like a square inch on this turnpike, you know, you can support, you can get an hour of WILL here, whatever you want to do. But for $60, if you do make that pledge, you can get a copy of John Nichols' brand new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, an exceptional book about Vice President Cheney, a critical look at his history and his tradition. Or you can get a copy of my brand new book, The Problem of the Media by Bob McChesney, or the book I co-edited with Ben Scott, Our Unfree Press, which is an anthology of the very best media criticism of the last 100 years in the United States. I think it's a tremendous read. And either any of those three books are yours for a $60 pledge today at 217-244-9455. If you pledge $120, you can actually get all three books. Do you want to go back to Pledge Center and see what the latest news is?
Yes, let's do that. We're up to, I think, what, 55, 56 calls in?
57
calls in so far. So, and we've got a couple of challenges, too, guys. Bert from Muhammad is going to add $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m. up to $200. That's 10 new members. We've heard from five, so we can take five more new members on that challenge. It's a very generous one from Bert. He'll add $20 to your pledge. And Terry Davis from Town Center, Town Square Jewelers and down in Charleston is challenging four other jewelry stores to pledge during Media Matters, and he'll double his generous pledge. We've heard from two so far. Our buddies at Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, thank you very much, here in Champaign, is one of them. Two more jewelry stores. Let's make that challenge, too. The number to call is 217-244-9455. You can put your pledge on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. 217-244-9455.
And I want to let all our listeners know that if you're a student, a membership is only $25, and we will gladly send a book to anyone as a student member. You don't have to send 60 to get a copy of the book. We're here to support students. We are, of course, affiliated with the University of Illinois, and this is a nonprofit, non-commercial, public service-oriented broadcaster. So the number again, 217-244-9455. We do need your calls. And again, we know that our research shows that 90% of the people who listen to this show and who listen to WILL and are regular listeners do not contribute. And that's, you know, certainly your privilege, but just go take stand in front of the mirror and take a good, long, hard look into your eyes and sort of ask yourself what the program is. Why am I not giving money to support this? It doesn't cost much on the big scheme of things, and it's such a service to the community. It's clearly something you obviously enjoy. You're listening to. If you're not supporting us, do it. And I've got great news for you. The first time you call, and I've had this experience, you know, the first time you make that pledge, it feels so great. It's like, wow, I'm part of it now. I'm contributing. I'm supporting this show. I'm supporting non-commercial radio. I'm supporting my community having coverage and journalism that wouldn't exist otherwise. I'm part of this community. John Nichols, let's talk about something, another reason people might want to contribute, which is Sinclair Broadcasting.
Well, I think that people, and do, what was that number again? It's
244-9455, and the area code for those outside the area is 217.
I just like to keep reminding people of it, because, you know, we do get off on topics, and it's important that while we're talking about things, people remember they can call in during those times. But this Sinclair fight, which I you know, people certainly heard about in the Media Minutes segment that we just had on.
Yeah.
But the Sinclair issue is a really big deal, and it has just swept across the United States. There is so much dialogue about this, because I think an awfully lot of people are beginning to see the danger that occurs when you have one company owning local television stations across the U.S. and forcing a feed into those stations, i.e. forcing a national imprint onto them.
And this Sinclair owns a station, as many of our listeners know, right here in Champaign. It also owns a station in Madison.
And, you know, look, Sinclair owns stations in 11 of the battleground states, and they own three stations in South Central Ohio. They own three stations in Florida. They own two stations in Wisconsin. This is a media corporation that happens to own a lot of stations in some of the most hard-fought election battleground states of 2004. And what they're doing with their 62 stations is requiring that they broadcast a 42-minute anti-John Kerry screed that has been broadly discredited, that literally has been challenged by other media, by veterans, even people like John McCain have criticized the players who are involved in this project. It's done by a former aide to Tom Ridge, who is a member of, obviously, the Bush administration, Secretary of Homeland Security. And this so-called documentary makes wild claims about John Kerry that are just way outside the mainstream of dialogue. And yet, Sinclair is apparently, as of Thursday of this week, going to start airing it on all 62 stations across the country.
Now, John, I'm a media scholar, and I write about these issues. The letter and spirit of our Communication Act is when we give companies these broadcast licenses, like WILL gets, or any commercial broadcaster, they're getting a monopoly privilege. They're getting scarce spectrum. No one else can use that frequency. And in exchange, one of the things they're not supposed to do is use that to favor a candidate in an election, to sort of turn the election towards one candidate or another. If it's a newspaper owner, that's one thing. But a broadcaster is supposed to have some semblance of equal time running up to an election day so that they serve the community and give the voters a chance to hear all sides of the story, in theory. Why isn't that applying with Sinclair?
Well, Sinclair is stretching the limits. I mean, let's be very clear. There's a couple things that people need to understand about Sinclair that many folks don't. And first off is they are not a network. They are a media conglomerate. That means they own a bunch of stations. They don't claim to be ABC or CBS or anything like that. They physically own stations all over the country. And what they do, unlike a network, you know, if ABC puts on a program that a station in Winston-Salem or Urbana or Iowa City doesn't want to run, they can just say, we're not going to run that show. But these stations have no right to do that. They are owned by Sinclair, and they have to run what Sinclair feeds them. And Sinclair has stretched the limits on politics for some time now. They have they're the pioneers of one-size-fits-all media. They have a production studio in suburban Baltimore where they literally feed programming out to all these stations. When they buy a station in a local market, they usually fire the local news folks, or they fire a lot of the local news gatherers, reporters, editors, and they instead feed in this drivel from Baltimore. And one of the things they do is they feed them the weather. They actually do the weather in Baltimore for places like Urbana, because then they don't have to hire a local weatherman. Now, that may sound like a good cost-cutting move, but if you've got a tornado headed toward Urbana, it can be a pretty scary thing.
Given the importance of weather to our economy, obviously, that's not
right.
A good thing.
Yeah, but then the other thing that they do is probably the thing they're the biggest on, is they feed editorial content out from Baltimore. They've got a guy named Mark Hyman, who is their editorial director, and he's vice president of the company, which, by the way, the executives of the company are huge contributors to the Bush campaign and the Republican Party. Hyman does daily editorials for all 62 stations across the country. They have to air these editorials during their news programs. And these editorials they go beyond even what the Bush campaign probably wants. They are so militant in their propagandistic attacks on John Kerry and on Democrats. I just did a count for a piece I'm writing for the Nation's website, nation.com, it'll be up tomorrow, of the editorials in the last month that Mark Hyman has done for all 62 of these stations attacking John Kerry. And by my count, he's done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 editorials attacking Kerry, one editorial attacking Theresa Heinz Kerry, and then two editorials attacking Democratic backers of Kerry. So when you add that up, in a month, the majority of this guy's editorials have been attacks on John Kerry. So here you have a network that is essentially giving itself over. It's news operations, it's editorial operations, everything. In fact, I'm surprised they haven't fit it into the weather yet, to attacking Kerry. That is not what the airwaves are given to companies and station owners to do. They are given the airwaves with a great deal of freedom to express opinions, to let people have dialogue and discourse, but to turn it into pure propaganda on a daily basis and going to the point of even knocking off primetime programming to do it is an awfully extreme thing. Congressman Bernie Sanders refers to this as the Sovietization of American broadcast television. And he says, and I think he's right, if Sinclair gets away with this, if they pull this off, we really have to step back and ask ourselves, you know, who's going to be next? Is Fox going to say, hey, we got outdone by Sinclair? They were more militantly pro-Republican. And this is not the direction that we want our television media to be headed in at this point.
We're talking to John Nichols today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here in WILL AM 580. This is Pledge Drive Week on Media Matters and for WILL. We need you to call in if you're a listener and show your support for this station. We have a goal, a target today, of 100 callers to come in and make contributions. We don't care how much you contribute. Whatever you can will be great. But this is money we desperately need for new equipment, new facilities to pay our bills. This money does not go into sort of extraneous, sort of marginal stuff. This is really the heart and soul of WILL, of Media Matters, of this station. Depend upon getting listener support today at 217-244-9455. And if you do call in at the $60 pledge level or $25 if you're a student, we will gladly give you your choice of one of three brand new books: John Nichols' new book, Dick, the Man Who's President, my new book, The Problem of the Media, or the edited collection I did with Ben Scott, Our Unfree Press, which is a collection of the finest press criticism in the United States over the past 100 years. The number again, 244-9455, area code 217. Please do call in. And we've got a caller I want to take now who's been a frequent guest on our show, Laura Flanders.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me and John Nichols today during our pledge drive.
Oh, anytime for you two.
Hey, Laura, I heard you last night on Air America.
Yeah, how's
it? Sounding great.
Yeah, you're doing the show. You know, you've been on community radio, public radio. Now you're doing the Air America show. How's that going?
Well, you know, it's true. I've sort of been part of the whole gamut here, and I certainly feel that where I come from is community radio and independent media. I don't know. I don't know how I got into this commercial forum, but heck, it's one hell of an experiment, and we're doing great. We're on like 36 stations around the country now, keep picking up new ones. You know, for people that support community and public radio, there's no more important thing to understand than this is a universe. This is a culture that we're building here, and what is created at the community level can create, a dear friend of mine used to say, you know, the independent media brings issues to the boil and the commercial media inhales the steam. You know, at this point, you know, we're lucky if they even inhale the steam. But I think Air America Radio is a great example of how what's been fomenting in the public media arena has made an inroad into the commercial sphere, and we'll see what happens. It's certainly reaching a different audience, but there's no question that what is coming to the airwaves of Air America Radio has been seeded and fed and nurtured by community media.
You know, some people criticize Air America for being sort of the liberal counterbalance to Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh. How do you respond to that criticism?
Well, I think there's a spectrum on Air America. I mean, I think there are certainly programs that do that, and I don't think that's a good job to do. It's not what I do, and I'm there doing something much more like what I do on public radio, albeit with calls and with ads and with a very different audience. But what's exciting right now about Air America is, yeah, there is a team of people fielding an alternative message with some of the same techniques and style that you find on the right. But there's also a great sense of humor, a variety of programming. It's not one note, as you'll find elsewhere.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for calling us. I know you're busy and you're taking time off on your Sunday. And good luck with the show, and we'll have you back on the air soon.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck to you.
All right, bye-bye. That was Laura Flanders, who's been a frequent guest in Media Matters, who called in to show her support today. And now we need you to call in and show your support. 217-244-9455. We're getting, you know, I guess, Jay Pierce, this is like entering the fourth quarter. I mean, it's the home stretch of the pledge drive for Media Matters.
About 18 minutes to go. And
how many calls have we had, Jay?
Well, I don't know. We can go out to Pledge Central.
Yeah, let's go to Pledge Central and get the word.
All right, the last tab is we had 68 calls in. That means we need 32 calls here in about the last 15 or 17 minutes here of the program.
Well, we have 10 phones set up. If we roll them over three times, you know, we're going
to
do it.
Hey, Jay, we've got some challenges, too, I'd like to mention.
Please do.
Bert from Muhammad's going to add $20 for every new member until 2 o'clock, up to $200. We've had 8 in on that. We can take 2 more new members, so maybe the $40 basic membership level is right for you right now. Become on board as a new friend, and Bert will kick in an extra $20. And we have Terry Davis from Town Square Jewelers down in Charleston. He's challenging other jewelry stores to call in. He will double his pledge if 4 other jewelry stores will call in. We've heard from 2 so far, including Christopher's here in Champaign. So call right now, 217-244-9455, and make your pledge.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we need your support. This is the time to step up to the plate. You know, blissfully, the next 25 weeks when you listen to Media Matters, you're going to hear a guest. You won't hear any pitches like this. When you call in, it'll just be to ask questions and speak to the sort of guests that we're able to bring to you. People like Greg Palast, people like Larry Lessig last week, people like Laura Flanders and Eric Alderman who called, and people, of course, like John Nichols, who graciously joins us for 2 hours today out of his Sunday to join us because he believes in the importance of shows like this and in the importance of stations like WILL AM 580. John, what would you say is the big media story that's missing right now? What is the media not talking about in this election that ought to be a front page story, a headline story? What is it?
Well, there's a ton of stories. It's a hard question to ask because there's so many things going on. But I actually do think that the most important story is more of a critique of the moment that has been almost lost on this campaign. Frances Fox Piven has just written a wonderful book in which she talks about the price of war. And the point that she makes is that if we just step back and look logically at what's going on right now, we have dramatically increasing military budgets. At the same time, the current administration has done several rounds of tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, and in general tax cuts. You're in a situation where, with increasing military spending, decreasing revenues, we have a federal government that is headed for a crash. It simply is not going to have the money to function. And this is not something that's going to happen 20 years from now. This is something that will happen next year. And I really believe lost from the whole debate is the reality that as of next year, something big is going to have to happen. Either we're going to have to do things like spin off Social Security into the stock market, privatizing it, going to have to shut down massive amounts of programs, or we're going to have to start withdrawing troops from Iraq or do something major. Because the money just isn't going to be there to do all the things that the federal government traditionally has done. And I think it is astounding that we are about to have an election in barely 2 weeks, and most Americans aren't conscious of that reality. They aren't conscious of the fact, and it is an absolute fact, that next year America is going to have a fiscal crisis because this administration has spent 4 years running up dramatic deficits, and even the deficits aren't going to save them next year. There simply isn't. There's not even enough money to support, you know, deficit spending anymore. And so that, to me, is a huge story that's missed. And a sidelight to that story is the trade deficit. We now have, month after month, the largest trade deficits in the history of the country. More and more of our debt is owned by one country, China. And it's not to bash on China, but it's just to say that increasingly, the United States is not the master of its own economic course. And these are the dialogues that ought to be had. I am sorry that Ross Perot is not running this year, because back in 92, as bad a player as he may have been, he forced people to pay attention to some of these deficit and trade deficit issues.
Mm-hmm.
They've been lost from the campaign because our media just doesn't cover economics.
Our guest today is John Nichols in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We need you to call and support us today, the pledge drive. We have lines open. Call 217-244-9455. We need to get 30 callers in the next 15 minutes to meet our target. Show that you support local community-oriented public broadcasting programming like Media Matters that brings guests you don't normally get. And joining us on the phone now is an old friend, of Media Matters, Amy Goodman. Are you there, Amy?
It's great to be with you, Bob. Great to be with John. And folks, go to your phone, 217-244-9455. Go to your phone and let us know that you are there for Bob, for Media Matters, for all the discussion you're hearing. It is the most critical discussion of the day. I really do think that the media, that the Pentagon has deployed something more powerful than any bomb or any missile, and that is the U.S. media, and we have to unembed it. And the kind of discussion you've been hearing, please call and support Media Matters. Support public radio. Give a call to 217-244-9455 and get Bob's book. It's absolutely critical that we become media literate, because it's the way we're coming to learn about the world is through the media, and it's through a corporate lens, and it's got to change. Get a copy of Bob's book. It's $60. Get a copy of John's book, Dick, the Man Who's President. It's an excellent book, and it really lays out what Cheney's record is. Give us a call right now, because you're not going to get a more informed discussion about the media than you get on Media Matters. I mean, Bob McChesney is the leader in this country around the issue of media literacy, around the issue of media concentration and the history of the corporate media in this country, not to mention the independent media and how important it is that we shore it up. Please call and fill the lines. You can get a copy of all three books. And, Bob, you could go through the titles, Dick, the Man Who's President, The Problem.
The Problem of the Media, and then
that's your book.
And then Our Own Free Press, which is the edited book on the history of the best press criticism of the last 100 years in the United States.
Wow. Our Unfree Press, The Problem
of the Media.
The Problem of the Media, Our Unfree Press, and Dick, the Man Who's President, for a contribution of $120, any one for $60. That includes getting this station 365 days a year. That includes getting Bob every week, Media Matters. Please go to your phone right now and make that pledge. 217-244-9455. 217-244-9455. I'm traveling around the country right now in this 100-city tour. We just left Sage Chapel at Ithaca, and we're headed to Rochester. And we are seeing the level of both crackdown but also resistance. I mean, the crackdown, not just about media, you know, in Silver City, New Mexico, a progressive talk show host, the local business in town not only said they wouldn't put advertisements during his program, that the owner of the radio station could deal with, and he was still backing him. After all, they also had Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity. But they said they were not going to give money to the station at all if this one voice remained on the air. And then the radio station owner said, unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to make it. He's a small-time radio station owner, mm-hmm. although he totally objected to the tactics. You have that. You have the crackdown on voter registration. You have people simply wearing T-shirts, another form of media these days, like those folks, three teachers in Oregon, in Medford, who wore T-shirts to a Bush rally that they had tickets to that said, protect our civil liberties. And they were taken out by the authorities for wearing those T-shirts. Folks, you protect our civil liberties by calling in and supporting Media Matters, 217-244-9455. The Problem is the Media is Bob's book. Our Unfree Press is the collection of edited works. And John Nichols' book, Dick, the Man Who Is President, you can get all three and the station 365 days a year for a contribution of $120. That's what, less than 30 cents a day?
Mm-hmm.
Please go to your phone right now. We need a free media, and that's what Bob McChesney is all about. 217-244-9455.
And you also get a free pass to tune to WEFT at 90.1 FM to listen to Amy's show.
All right.
Monday through Friday.
And we're trying to get you on the television station here, too, Amy. Thank you so much for calling. You're just absolutely wonderful
Thanks,
to do
Amy.
This on
You're
a Sunday, of all things. And keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye. Well, I mean, you've heard it directly from Amy Goodman. You've got to get on the phone. You've got to call 217-244-9455. I think Amy, like John Nichols, and like myself, We travel around the country. We talk to people everywhere. We're fortunate to know when a community is served with a good radio station, when it's got local community and public broadcasters that serve the community, and how important they are to the health of a community, to its psychic, social, political health, its culture. And we've got one here in WILL. We've got to step up and support it, 244-9455. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's time to go back to central headquarters for Pledge Central.
You bet. It's been active out here, Bob. And we have met that challenge from Bert for $20 for every new member between now and 2 p.m., up to $200. Thanks a lot, Bert. However, Connie Hall from Chicago says, you know what, I'll put in $10 for every new member from now till the end of the hour. And we have had 95 calls in.
Well, we need a whole bunch more than
Come
that.
Come on, guys. Let's go to work here.
92. Okay, 92 calls.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
we're down.
So let's go over that 100 mark. And,
so
right
we better
now,
not tell Amy the bad news.
Oh, yeah. 217-244-9455. Remember, you can use your credit card and place your pledge on your credit card. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. You'll receive a Whimper map, which is public radio stations all across the country. It lets you listen to public radio wherever you go. 217-244-9455. We need at least, I would say, 10, 15 more calls.
Well, I just heard some phones go off there. That's good news.
Yeah, I hope that's no one's cell phone.
Yeah, but this is, look, the bottom line is we're down to the last 10 minutes here. And this is the time we've been talking about through the whole show.
Yeah.
And we've had dialogue about other things than that. But this is the point where people got to come and make it come through. Because, you know, Bob and I do travel a lot around the country, and Amy does as well. And one of the things that I know Bob and I have done in other cities is talk about Media Matters. We've said, you know, look, out in Urbana, Illinois, there is a radio show that every week takes apart the crisis of big media in this country, exposes what's going on with Sinclair Broadcasting, exposes what's going on without Fox, and points people toward important independent media like Amy Goodman's show Democracy Now!, points people toward international media like The Guardian from Great Britain and other publications that help you kind of cut through the lies of the moment. And this show is on air on a local public radio station. And, you know, when we tell people about that in other cities, yeah, they do start to find it on the web. We know that happens. But the other thing they do is that they are inspired to try similar projects at the grassroots in their own community. Knowing that there's a model out there, like Media Matters, helps other activists all over this country to realize that they can get engaged, that they can do something. So people in Champaign, Urbana, and throughout eastern Illinois, and over into Indiana, down to Kentucky, up to Chicago, need to support this program. You are not just making an investment in one radio station or one show. You are making an investment in creating a model that will inspire the whole country.
And the number again, 217-244-9455. And just to reiterate what John said, when a show like Media Matters succeeds and gets a lot of support, that's the strongest possible signal to station managers around the country. This is the sort of show listeners are going to respond to, that people want to hear. And in fact, just joining us in the studio again is Jack Brighton, who's the person I think is singularly responsible for getting Media Matters on the air at the beginning. Jack, what's the latest?
Well, I think actually you're responsible for getting the show going, and we're happy to help in whatever we can. What I wanted to add is simply this, that when Bob McChesney moved to Champaign-Urbana, we saw an opportunity. Not only he came to us with this great idea for a talk show on the media, and he's such a natural host, he brings a lot of gifts to that, but also, I mean, he is the top scholar in the United States on the history of media and its relationship to democracy. So he's not just a talk show host. He's a scholar in this field, and it's really important that he brings that perspective to it. Now, speaking to your last point, I wanted to say, yes, we've heard a lot of callers' voice support for Media Matters, but what we want to do is we want to share it with the world. We'd like to syndicate this program, and that's going to take a lot of effort and some time and some resources, so you can make a difference in helping us do that with your pledge call in the 4 minutes we have remaining in this hour. So if you haven't done it before this point, please do it now. Pick up the telephone, 217-244-9455.
Let's go back to Pledge Central. Mm-hmm. We've got some update over there.
101 is the number of calls we've
Excellent.
Had so far. And we'd
only
like
101?
Only 101, John.
We're
always a pessimist.
We can do better than that. 217 844-9455. Thanks to Louise Allen from Champaign. We've heard from Daryl Sweeney from Champaign. We've heard from Greg Springer, a good friend of ours from Urbana. Mitchell, I hope I pronounced your last name right, Chesapansky from Chicago.
No, you didn't pronounce it right.
Mitchell is one of the great media activists in Chicago.
He is.
John Franzi from Matson. Just a few of the folks we've heard from this hour. Join them. Support programs like Media Matters, as we've been talking about. It's a unique show, and it's here on your public radio station. 217-244-9455.
Yeah, great. John, go ahead.
Bob, we've got just 5 minutes here, I think, or very little left. And we've hit the 100 level. That's great. But we really need to go well over that. And I think that's an important message to get out to folks in these last few minutes. We need some more calls.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's nice to say, oh, we set a goal of 100, and, you know, that's a great number and stuff. But the more we go over this goal, the more we send the message that this show really matters to people in the listener area, just the on-air area, but also people around the country who are coming in online. And so I hope people will. What's the number again, Bob?
217-244-9455. And remember, John, for $60, the basic pledge, a choice of any of three books, your new book, Dick the Man Who's President, my book, The Problem of the Media, or the anthology, Our Own Free Press, I did with Ben Scott, which has a collection of 25 or so of the finest essays on media in the last 100 years in the United States. For $120, you get all three. If you're a student, a $25 pledge is the same as a $60 pledge. You get a book. But even if you can only get $5, it's really, we're at the point where we're not adding up money. We're talking about the number of people contribute. We just want to see people show their support for this station. It's not about, you give what you can. And some people are very fortunate. They can give a lot of money. Some people can't. We understand that. We aren't asking you to clean out your bank account or skip a meal. Give what you can. But if you value this, obviously, if you're listening to the station, you do value it. If you're taking time of your life to listen to it, then be one of the people who steps forward and help support it. Help make it possible for other people to hear the show who currently don't have that privilege.
And let me tell you just about, you know, the books that we're talking about. And we haven't spent, you know, you and I are terrible promoters in this regard. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about these books. But the Cheney book that I wrote has, it's been a wonderful ride. It's been featured on CNN and on all sorts of national public radio and Canadian TV and British TV and all sorts of other places. And the reason is, because not because I'm the greatest guy in the world, but because this is the first book that exposes Dick Cheney. If you want a tool to go into the last 2 weeks of this election campaign with a lot of information that you can talk to your Republican cousins and friends and neighbors about, Dick, the man who is president, is a useful tool. Beyond that, if you want the tools that will see you through the next year and the next 10 years, you have to get these two books that Bob has been involved with. Literally, Bob's books are the biblical text for media reform in this country, and they are so very useful. I have people all the time. I have people come up to me and say, you know, I've just read Bob McChesney's book. It changed my life because it made me understand that I can have a role in challenging big media. I mean, you're getting a wonderful option here to get three books that really can matter in the politics of the moment and really the politics of the future. So, I mean, make that call. You got a couple minutes left. Call in. Grab a copy of one book. Grab all three for $120. What's the number, Bob?
The number 217-244-9455. And, John, unfortunately, I hear the band tuning up in the background. We have to go to our next show. But people, do please call in 244-9455. Support Media Matters. Support WILL. The pledge offers are still open for the next few minutes. If you place your call now, you can get those books. We'll keep you there. But now we've got to turn our attention to yet another great show here. My name's Bob McChesney on Media Matters. I'm going to be back a week from today. I want to thank everyone who's been working their butt off today to try to make this pledge drive work.
You're listening to AM 580 WILL Urbana.